was at a wedding last night. With Nanny Lonesy, Nanny Loney. So our wonderful Leonie, her oldest son was married last night, and it was a wonderful occasion. I had the privilege of officiating at that, and we just so enjoyed celebrating with you and your family as Luke got married to Alice. So that was fantastic. But I think as you walk the journey longer, I think I found as I've got older, even as I attend weddings, the significance of them grows. Alex and I have been blessed to be married for 33 years. Did I get that right? We're in our 33rd year anyway. So we're blessed. And I think as you watch a wedding, you see the hopes and dreams of a couple as they're embarking on that, and you know that they're going to have challenges. You know that they're going to have ups and downs. You know that they're going to have amazing celebrations, and you know that they're going to have incredible lows. But you know that there is an incredible blessing in that relationship available to them. And you know, and I perhaps get more nostalgic and emotional over the years as I look at weddings. I think what we've just seen here, Resurrection Sunday and baptism, to me, has the same feelings, but it's much, much more powerful. Because unlike our human marriages, we know that some marriages fall over. We know that some don't make the distance for a whole raft of reasons. But the thing is, when you make that commitment to Jesus Christ, like we've just seen, did you know the Bible tells us that there is nothing? There is nothing in heaven, meaning the spiritual realm. There is nothing on earth, meaning the physical realm. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God and the calling that you have on your life. So whilst a wedding is an incredible thing and an amazing celebration, what we've just seen, we are celebrating something that has an eternal destiny, and nothing can ever take that away. So today's Resurrection Sunday, and that is exactly what we're celebrating. It is the celebration of light overcoming darkness. Next to God, death is perhaps the most powerful thing that we actually contemplate in this universe. You know, it's something that we spend lots and lots of money on, don't we? We spend money on healthcare and all those things, and you know, trying to help people have the best quality and the best length of life that they can, but there is actually no way we can turn it back. I actually had a quick conversation with somebody a few minutes ago, and they were telling me about some of the things that they're dealing with as the years have gone on. And I was reminded of something that somebody said a number of years ago, that actually getting old isn't for sissies. there is something about life and this powerful death concept that can't be turned around. Death is perhaps the ultimate darkness. But here's the good news. In his resurrection from the dead, Jesus claimed the ultimate victory over darkness. He claimed a victory that will never be overcome. Interesting, Jesus was in the domain. He was under the power, if you like, of death. For we say 3 days, but if you do the maths, it's a bit less than that. But he was in the grave, and he was going through what anybody else, any other human, would go through when they face death. But I think he was going through a whole lot more, because he was taking on the spiritual forces of darkness in a way that perhaps we can never imagine until one day we get to hear what that was like. And in our Australian way of saying things, we might say that he had a good look at death. But he found that it was powerless to hold him in that place. He stared it down. He died, but it was powerless to hold him. So on the third day, Jesus simply walked out of the grave. Wow. Wow. No one else has ever done that, been dead for 3 days and simply walked out of the grave. I had an experience a little bit like that once. I was riding my bike. Don't worry, I didn't fall off and die. But for those of you who know Hobart a bit, we were riding down Churchill Avenue, down quite a steep hill. And there was what appeared to be a dead wallaby in the middle of the road. It was just lying there. So we just rode beside it, not too concerned because it was dead. But as we approached it, as we got right next to it, the wallaby actually stood up and actually hopped between two of our bikes, you know, nearly taking about three cyclists down. Now, that wallaby obviously wasn't dead. It was just stunned. It was just lying on the road and it got up. You see, but Jesus was completely dead. He was in the grave. He was done. I don't know if the Romans actually did a medical certificate, but they had soldiers all around him and they said he is dead, 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 dead. And they put him in a grave and they sealed that with the seal of the Roman emperor. So if you were going to break that seal, you were risking your own life. And they put soldiers and guards around that grave. And none of that had any hope of holding that grave shut. Because the power that defeated death and defeated sin and defeated every destruction force of the universe could not hold that grave shut. And on the third day, Jesus simply walked out. And John 1 verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it." The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. Every force of darkness that came against Jesus in that moment, in that time, could not. And it was not just in that moment, it was every time. It was all darkness being rallied almost for all time that culminated in that point. We have got God in the grave. We have actually got him where we want him. And for a very short time, the forces of darkness, Satan, the evil one, they all thought they had won. The religious systems, the Roman Empire, everybody thought that they had overcome God. For just a little while, they believed they'd won. For just a little while, people believed that their structure, their religion, their authority could contain this God revolution that they'd been watching before their very eyes. And he was not overcome. That's the great hope that we celebrate today and every day of our lives. The ultimate darkness having to give way to the ultimate life. To the ultimate light. Wow. And the Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 15 to, and I'm going to read from 54 to 57. It says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin." In other words, that rebellion against God. "And the power of the death is the law." In other words, what we should get because of sin. And the Bible's really clear. It says the wages of sin is death. And it goes on, "But thanks to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." John 1 verse 5 that I've already been reading from the New American Standard Bible, it says, "And the light shines in the darkness," and the darkness, I like the way it puts it here because it's probably the best translation of it, says, "The darkness could not grasp it." Jesus not only overcame the darkness, but he presents such a stark contrast to this world that the darkness could not even understand or comprehend. Anybody that's been a follower of Jesus for a while and has found themselves in a position where you are trying to explain what the light and the life of Jesus means to somebody who perhaps hasn't walked that journey, who hasn't come to that point. And it can be like it's a concept that people struggle to grasp. And the contrast of what Jesus did meant that the darkness of this world couldn't even grasp it or understand it. I think this contrast is really clear in what would be my favourite verse. John 10:10 says, "The thief, the enemy, all evil, only comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." So the thief, meaning the enemy, the devil, Satan, the world, the spirit of this age, all these things that actually go on in our world. Who's looked at events over the last 5 years and thought, wow, what is happening in this world that we live in? What is going on? Who's actually noticed that things that we thought once were good are now being taunted as being bad and terrible and evil? Who has thought there were things that we could actually bank on, we could invest in, we could believe in, but now don't count for anything? Who's noticed that has actually been going on? Now, that has always been going on for all time, but we notice that more recently there's been an intensity around that. That's the spirit of this age. That is all those things coming against all that is good. So what does it mean? What does it mean for us? What does this contrast of light over darkness actually mean to you? Here's the first thing I want you to get hold of. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I don't get this Christian stuff, I don't get this people being in a baptism thing, that's okay. We're so glad you're here. But here's the first thing that I would like to say this morning is that Jesus does not condemn you. Jesus does not condemn you. Who's ever had a concept of God as this God, like a, you know, like a real scary school principal? Apologies if there are any school principals here, because you're probably not scary. But I had some scary moments with school principals. This authoritarian figure who is waiting to punish you. That's a concept that we have of God, because the darkness cannot grasp the light. But let me tell you the truth right now. That is not the way that God looks at you. He does not condemn you. And John 3:17 says, "For God did not," this is clear, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." So Jesus did not come into this world to wipe it out. He did not come to make people feel bad. He did not come to put people down. He did not come to show humanity how bad it was. Because you know what? Humanity already knows that. We already know that we live in a broken society. We already know that left to our own devices, that we do a lot of stuff that doesn't end so well. We do some amazing good things too. We've got this goodness in us, and we all have this battle perhaps raging in us between good and evil. Jesus didn't come to make us feel bad. He came to save us. Jesus does not condemn you. The world will condemn you. Who's ever spent half an hour on social media and walked away feeling condemned? You see, the world wants to condemn you. It wants to make you feel like your life doesn't add up. You know, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, your family's not good enough, whatever else it is, that's the world wanting to make you feel condemned. But Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. I came to save you and give you life." Right. Jesus revealed the heart of God in the Father by sending his Son to bring salvation. And salvation basically is rescue, hope, healing through him. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're feeling guilty, if you're feeling condemned, if you're feeling judged, that is not the heart of God towards you. God does not condemn you. He does not judge you. His heart towards you is that he wants you to be set free. He wants you to be filled with peace. He wants you to have a joy in your life that nothing can take away. And again, Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 1, he says, therefore, he talked about what Jesus did. He talked about the fact that he died and rose again. He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. In other words, you make a choice to step in and follow Jesus. There is nothing that condemn you. You can be like me as a kid at school, you know, standing before that authoritarian figure, and you can get in trouble for the mistakes you've made or the silly things you've done, but you're not condemned eternally. You're actually set free, and there is forgiveness for that moment and every other moment to come in your life, anywhere you've been, and that guilt will be lifted from your life, and there is nothing that can bring it back. Come on, isn't that good news this morning? So what is the contrast of light and dark? What does the contrast of light over dark mean for you right now? Well, here's the message. Here's the bumper sticker. Here's the thing that you've all heard, but what does it actually mean? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He doesn't look at you and think, oh, well, I created him, so I guess I've got to love him. It's like parents, you know, like that kid is... Oh, it's terrible, terrible hard work, but I guess I've got to love him. You might have moments like that as parents, but you know that you love them in spite of everything. For God so, this is the verse before John 17. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, what did he do? He gave willingly his only son. Our wonderful Terence, barista extraordinaire, engineer, project manager. One of his children the other day swung off a swing at our place and managed to break his arm. Terence, in all his compassion, turned up and we said, oh, we're so sorry. He said, it's all right, I've got two more. Unlike Terence, who is incredibly blessed, God did not have two more. He had one. His only. He had one chance at saving you. He had one shot at saving humanity. He didn't have a plan B or C. He just had one shot. Who's ever been in that place? Like, you know, you're in some competition and you've got one chance left. And it's like, you know, you've bet the whole house on number 21. He had one chance and he put everything on the line. Love is perhaps such a devalued word in our world. I love my car. I love biscuits. I love ice cream. I love my footy team. And then people say they love us. Here's a little bit deeper. People say they love us. And in their brokenness, they might hurt us. They might betray us. They might abandon us. And everybody who has been alive in this world for perhaps more than 20 years has experienced some of those things. At a whole raft of levels. When the Bible was written there were a number of words that describe love, because the New Testament was written in ancient Greek. That was the language that was used for writing stuff down, basically. And there were a number of Greek words. One of them talked about brotherly love, the love that you would have for your family and siblings, and that sense of love that you have in that place. There was another one that talked about long-standing love, about a love that actually would endure challenges and circumstances. And then there was romantic love. You've heard the word eros, and that was talking about romantic love. But there was another word that really couldn't be, it can't be delivered in any other way except for divine love. And that word, it's God's love, is agape love. And it's a love that is extended to all, whether a family member or whether a distant person. It meant that it was a love that knew no bounds. And C.S. Lewis, a famous writer, wrote, it is gift love. It is a love that gives and expects nothing in turn. Agape was translated into the Latin word caritas, which is where we get the word charity from. In other words, I am going to do something for you when you actually have no hope of repaying me or giving me anything back for that, but we do it because we want to show you love, we want to show you value, we want to show you respect, and we don't expect you to do anything back. So many of you have probably given recently to all sorts of charities. You have given to the earthquake in Turkey. And you know that you're probably never going to meet any of those people. You don't expect them to come and knock on your door and say, thank you. That is because you have placed in you that sense of being able to love like God loves, that agape love where you say, oh, I actually want to just give because that person needs love. Studies have shown that empathy levels in the US have declined really sharply over about the last 50 years. And I'm sure it'd be exactly the same in Australia. And perhaps the steepest decline in that has happened over the last decade. You see, this agape love is a love that is in direct contrast to the love that we often experience in this world. It's a love that reaches beyond. It's a love that is extravagant beyond words. It's a love that does not ask for a response from the recipient. It's a love that has no limits. It's a love that shines into the darkness. It's a love that shines so bright that there is nothing, there is no darkness, there is no thing that you can do or have done or can conceive of doing that can actually limit the capacity of that light to shine and illuminate that dark place. And then John 3:16, it goes on that we shall not perish but have eternal life. Shall not perish? Well, that's pretty obvious. We understand that it means not perishing, not disintegrating, not rotting in the ground. But really what it describes, it describes the intent of God's love. The intent of God's love was that you would not go to destruction because of the brokenness of humanity. You would not go to destruction because of stuff that you've experienced. It was a love that had intent to lift you out of your situation. God's love actually saves people from eternal destruction. God's love sees broken humanity and does not want it to perish, and so it gives the gift of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. And then it says, have eternal life. Eternal life, this describes the duration of God's love. The love that we receive in this world can fade and turn. I bet if I went round now, there will be so many of you who have been so madly in love with somebody. And even as I talk about it now, you would feel the pain of that. You would feel that that love that was so strong over time faded or it turned as people walk through all sorts of situations in life. But the duration of God's love is eternal. It has no limits. It will never stop. It will be exactly the same. It will have the same intent. It will have the same intensity. It will have the same power as it has today in 100 billion years' time. So what does this contrast of light over dark mean for us? This is the last thing I want to say this morning, is Jesus gives you victory. Jesus gives you victory. He actually never wanted anybody who is sitting here, anybody who is online, anybody who's out there in the streets of Moona, anybody across Hobart, anybody in Glenorchy, anybody in Nepal, wherever you're watching this morning, he did not want anybody to live a defeated life. Who's ever woken up? You don't have to give me hands. But this is the plight of humanity. You would have woken up one morning and said, oh, why do I bother? It's just so hard. And you feel defeated before you even start. That is not what God has for you. You might feel those things, but he gives you a reality that you can live in a victory that can never be taken away. And I like to say this, if you come into the family of Jesus Christ, if you're willing to accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are not fighting for victory. It's not like this war that we're watching in Ukraine, and perhaps the Ukrainians are carrying victory in their heart, and there's this sense of the way they fight for that, but you know, they are still fighting for victory. You know, we don't fight for victory as followers of Jesus. We fight from victory because he's already got the victory. We're just living it out. We're just walking it out. And you don't have to be anything, do anything, say anything to be in that victory. If you've already confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are walking it out. You are walking in victory. Victory is yours. And it can never, never, never be taken away. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And back to this verse I've been using, John 1 verse 5. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. What does that mean for you? It means that when you face dark days, they will not overcome you. They can't overcome you, and there is no way that they can overcome you. There is no place you've been. There is no situation you're in, nothing that you have done or could have done or can do that can rob you of the victory that Jesus Christ has for you. Listen to this. If you think, oh, gee, I so wish this stuff could be broadcast across our world at the moment. So loud and so powerful. When we're hearing so much negativity. When we're hearing so much fear. When we're hearing, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to my children in this world. I don't know what our environment's going to do. All those things. Well, this is what Paul writes. And this is a guy who had done it tougher than most Christians. He wrote, I am convinced. This was a guy who had been flogged, he had been beaten, he had been shipwrecked, he had been humiliated, he had been starved, he had been through everything. And he says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, and in other words, neither politics nor popular culture, neither the environment or anything else can separate me from the love of God. Wow. Nor powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on. All right, let me read the whole of John 3, 17 and 18 to you now. So I've done 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Listen, here's the good news. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's what I've been saying. Jesus doesn't condemn you. Well, what is it that condemns us? We condemn ourselves. Our own brokenness actually condemns us. It's this world around us that condemns us. God does not condemn you. But he says, you know, if you're in that place, you're already condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Please. I'm not pleading with you because I need it. I'm pleading with you because we need a global revolution. I'm pleading with you because there is so much more that you can have. Allow. If the team want to join me, please. Allow the light of God to illuminate your darkness. Allow the love of God to penetrate your loneliness, your disappointment, and your fear. Allow that love that will never end to give you hope and security and future in an uncertain world. Allow the forgiveness of God to remove your guilt. Allow the grace of God. Grace is basically just receiving something that you never ever deserved. Allow the grace of God to give you more than you could ever imagine. Allow the victory of Jesus to give you hope and healing. And in a minute, we're going to close the service. But before we do that, I just want to ask a really important question. We're gonna finish, and we're gonna pray for people to be healed. There are people here that need physical healing this morning. There are people here that need emotional healing this morning, and we're just gonna believe that the Spirit of God is just going to reach you. How can it reach you? Because when Jesus died on that cross, when he walked out of that grave, he defeated every evil, terrible thing that is in this world. He actually defeated sickness and disease. He defeated those things. He defeated depression. He defeated loneliness. He defeated those things. And we're going to pray into that in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to ask you that question. Come on, I don't want anybody to stand condemned in a world that actually so often wants to bring you down. I want you to stand in forgiveness. I want you to stand in victory. I want you to stand in future. I want you to stand in hope. I want you to stand in love. I want you to stand knowing that there is nothing that could ever separate you from the purpose and the love and the power of God in your life. I'm not actually going to ask people to stand now, but you can. But I want people just to, let's bow our heads, just give a moment of privacy. If you're online this morning, don't let this moment pass. Maybe you just need to stand in front of your computer or your phone and send us a direct message and say, I want to be included in this prayer. And I'm going to pray a prayer now, and I'm going to invite you to pray with me if you've never prayed this prayer before. And basically the prayer is saying, it's all that I talked about when people were baptized. Jesus, you're going to say, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you love me so much that nothing could ever get in the way of that. I believe that you came and you died. You died to pay the price for my sin, my rebellion, my part in humanity's brokenness. I believe it. You mightn't know it all. You mightn't be able to work it all out scientifically, you mightn't be able to work it all out even rationally. There's something that is deeper than our capacity to even rationalize in this. But you take a step of faith and saying, Jesus, I want you to meet me where I'm at. I want you to meet me in my doubt and my confusion. You see, even one of Jesus' own disciples, Thomas, he couldn't believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. And when Jesus finally caught up with him, he said, Thomas, it's okay. It's okay. Look, here's the scars in my hand. Here's where they put the spear in my side. Here's where they drove the nails through my feet. And he said, Thomas, it's okay. And sometimes we can come to him like that, but we're saying, you know what, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for me, and I'm making a choice this morning to ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. If you've never done that before, if you've done it, you'll know. If you're not sure, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just give me a wave. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. I need to do that this morning. I just believe there are some people here, and I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a cult. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just actually asking you to respond to Jesus right now. And if you haven't done that before and you want to do that right now, just give me a wave. Just lift your hand up right where you are in your seats. If you're online, give me a direct message. If that's you, just say, hey, Dave, that's me. I need to do that. And there might be people here, and you know perhaps you've done that once, but you're not sure where you're at right now. And you just need to make that fresh commitment to him. It's all right. Just give me a quick wave. Say, that's me, Dave. I want to do that this morning. Let's not stand condemned, but let's live in the victory of Jesus Christ. If that's you and you need to do that, just give me a wave. Just give another moment or two. If you're online, just send us a message. We'll do that. Awesome. All right, let's pray together as people make decisions for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you love me so much that you would die for me. Right now, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Fill me with your presence and your healing. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. If you're online and you responded, please send us a message. Even if you didn't pray that prayer and you're still trying to work that out, by all means, we would just love to talk to you about that. And just any questions you have, it's a journey, and you're very welcome. You can continue to be around us. Come back here. There is no problem at all with that. We want to allow you to go on whatever journey you need to go on here this morning. Hey team, would you be able to lead us in the song that we started with this morning?
Yeah.
And as we do that, if you need prayer for healing this morning, I just think there's something powerful about Resurrection Sunday.